Welcome to the Healing Embodied podcast, where we have real and raw conversations about growth and healing that will shift your perspective in profound ways. We take a unique approach to healing the overthinking mind, creating conscious relationships, and living a life of courage and freedom. So take a deep breath and get ready to expand your mind, connect to your body, and activate your spirit. Hello and welcome back to the Healing Embodied podcast. This is your host, Chelsea Horton, and I'm so excited for today's guest. This is someone who I have worked with as a coach, as a mentor. She is big into somatic work. She is brilliant, just her ideas, her insights, her philosophies, her work. And I have her on the podcast today because of something she was talking about in her Instagram stories. You can follow her and find her at Janira Martinez. Is that correct?
At Janira underscore Martinez.
Okay.
The damn underscore.
I know. So yes, I have Janira Martinez. Again, a brilliant coach. I would say philosopher. Like the ideas and things that you put through are just so brilliant. And I don't feel like you regurgitate anything. You truly have like your own insights and ideas, even if they're countercultural or like, oh, she said what? Like you really just speak your truth. And that's what I love so much about you. And you were posting something on your Instagram a couple of weeks ago about spirituality and religion. And for those who have been following my podcast for a long time, you know that I have my own experience with religious trauma. And I think a lot of people might assume that that means I have thrown out like spirituality altogether. And that can be further from the truth. But I want to talk about this specific thing when it comes to religion and spirituality, which is using religion and spirituality as a means to bypass the human experience and what religion and spirituality often become when they're disembodied. And that's something you were talking about in your Instagram story. So I'm really excited to dive into this conversation so people can feel the contrast and understand why our bodies can't be left out of our spirituality and what it might look like when we use spirituality or religion to bypass the human experience versus integrate them together. So welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Awesome intro. It's such a good topic. I'm excited to dive in. Yeah. I think it's important to first maybe explain what spiritual bypassing means. That definition is important. Spiritual bypassing is using spirituality to, like, as you said, to bypass or skip over your human experience, you know, any uncomfortable emotions, wounds and traumas, and even desires. This is a big one that happens a lot, right? Wants and desires, you know, skipping over any of these things using spiritual concepts and teachings. And it's often done because there's a discomfort with what's arising in the human experience. And there's such a perceived comfort and ease with just like being in the spiritual realm, right? Connecting with those teachings of love and light and gratitude and non-attachment. So I'll keep it simple, but that's spiritual bypassing.
Yeah, I think there's actually a lot of common phrases that we even hear in the spiritual or religious community, like everything happens for a reason, or God won't give you more than you can handle, or yeah, like this emphasis on either love and light or kind of using religious teachings to oversimplify the human experience. We're like, just give it all to God. This like disconnection, or this even sometimes the I would say like a codependent relationship with the concept of God, of like, I will be rescued, I will be saved by something outside of myself. And then there's the love and light, gratitude, high vibration only kind of teaching as well.
For sure. Oh my God. it's so interesting because I believe all of these teachings, actually, everything you just said. I'm like, well, maybe not high vibes, but I do believe in love and light. I do believe handing it all over, but it's so nuanced because it's like, you can't actually fully do that until you process things, your feelings, your experience, right, through the body, which might include some low vibe experiences of raging, resenting, being victimized, right, complaining, all of that, in before you can get to those states. And what I found is that every time I fully let myself go into my human experience, all that discomfort, I mean, like, surrender fully to that, boom, what opens after, like, I've moved all the way through, I arrived there anyway. I arrived understanding and the love and the forgiveness and all that stuff, but it's not with force.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what spiritual bypassing does. It, like, tries to force you over that whole thing that I just said into, you know, all the beyond.
Yeah, right. I mean, the very word bypassing, it's like, if I could just bypass the raging and the grieving and the pain and the mourning and the feeling of my feelings and the allowance of the somatic experience through my body, if I could just skip that and arrive to the gratitude and the love and the light and the surrender and the trust, right?
It'll all work out. It'll all be great. I'll feel good. I won't have to deal with any of the icky, dark shit.
Exactly. And I love what you said, because I have found this to be so true in my own experience. Like, when I just allow my body to do what she knows how to do, I arrive there organically. There is no forcing. It doesn't feel like I'm severing some part of me off to get to some spiritual truth, sacrifice. Like, it just happens as a byproduct of fully being in my human experience every single time, every single time.
Yep. Amen.
This is me. Preach.
Exactly. Yeah. This is me now. This is, like, what I practice and what I teach, but, and it's obviously you now as well, but it definitely wasn't me before. And this is why I'm able to, like, really speak about it and, like, spot it so clearly when I see it, because I used to do it so intensely to avoid all the pain that I was in. I used spirituality to, like, just try to run away and tried to convince myself that I was good, I was happy, I had forgiven everyone that caused pain to me. But what was actually happening was I was just, like you said, cutting off. Like, it's like cutting off an arm and a leg. Really, most of myself, I was just like this floating head. Yeah, honestly, I was cut off from my body, and I had just buried everything. And it was just right there, ticking time bomb, waiting to be tended to. And it manifested. I mean, it forced me to tend to it because it manifested as literal disease in my body. It manifested as passive aggressiveness, jealousy that I, like, wouldn't express, but, like, was eating away at me inside. It was, like, it did not work. The spiritual bypassing just did not work.
Yeah. And a lot of people then go, well, it's the spiritual framework that doesn't work. So maybe if I just ditch this one for another one, maybe the other one will work, but they're still doing the same patterns, just with a different context of, like, spiritual teaching.
Yep. And that's what I was talking about in that post. Yes. Like, and I'm not a critic of religion. I'm like, whatever, my one of my deepest truths that I carry, and I'm just prefacing what I'm about to say with this, is that paths are many, truth is one. So there are many paths to the truth, whether it's Christianity for you or Buddhism for another or New Age spirituality or what have you. I believe that there are many ways to get to the ultimate truth, to get to God. And what I was writing about in that post in my stories, was that I'm seeing this trend of many people leaving New Age spirituality because of what I just said, having experiences like I did where people were using it to suppress their pain and their trauma and their human experience. And then we're like, this doesn't work, especially in the last couple of years where things got so intense, in the world. And like, so like, just everything that we as like a collective have buried, all right, came up for us, especially in the lockdown periods where there was nowhere to run. There was no avoiding ourselves, right? And so a lot of people in this like last couple of years have left the New Age spirituality camp and gone over to like become born again Christians. And what I'm sensing is that like maybe some people have had true revelations, but what I'm sensing is that mostly it's what you just said. It's people being like, that didn't work for me. And now my pain is so evident. I need something else to run away to. Let me have Jesus save me. But they're doing the same thing that they were doing. Let me have love and light and the universe save me, right? It's the same thing in a different form.
Yes.
And well, I don't know how it's going to go for them, but if it's as I theorize it to be, it's probably not going to work. And they're going to be left in the same position in a few years with like the pain bubbling up to the surface again, because that's what pain and unmet wounds do. They keep rising up until we finally have the courage to face them.
And I feel like there's also a commonality in this kind of pattern here, which you didn't mention in your stories, but as you're saying it, I'm like, shame.
Yes.
When you're in the love and light New Age stuff, and you're like, why can't I just be in high vibe? Why am I in low vibe? What's wrong with me? Why can't I just manifest this? Why can't I just get to that place? What's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? So there's the shame in that camp. And then with Christianity, there's, I'm so bad. I'm so horrible. What do I need to do to like, you know, deserve God's forgiveness? I need to constantly be begging for forgiveness. At least that was my experience in Christianity. So they're both, the kind of unhealthy spirituality is marked by shame. Mm. Of like, there's always something wrong with my humanity and my human experience that I need to fix.
Exactly. I need to fix or get away from.
Yes. In some
form or another. Exactly. Yeah. I didn't grow up very religious, so I don't have that like personal like connection to the shame element through the religious context, but I've seen this a lot with a lot of clients I worked with actually that come to me from Christianity, having left Christianity, right? There's this like imprint of like you were born wrong, or what, you were born sinful. And I think it's also just like a Western concept too. It's like not even just religion anymore. It's like permeating in our culture. It's like something's wrong with you. You have to earn love. You have to earn your place in the world, right? To be worthy and successful and happy and whatever, to fit in, belong. And so anyway, I think that this, even though it doesn't necessarily apply to people only from a religious background, shame is like embedded in our culture. And so people are, and then there's no tools to deal with that shame. So yeah, people are constantly running from that. And I see that so much because my background, I started off as a desire and intimacy coach. So I was really working with people a lot around their sexuality and around their desires and what they want. And in relationship, I was mostly working with women, and I saw so much shame to be in their bodies, to be in their pleasure, to own their sex, to own what they want, and beyond even the bedroom. So much shame to even claim that, right? And it's like there's, and then when we bring in the religious imprints that you're talking about, it's like, or even the spiritual imprints that I'm seeing, right? Of like, in, if it's bastardized, because this is not actually what these teachings say, but when it's bastardized and like people take little pieces from it, there's this idea that wanting is bad. You should just be happy with what you have. Even pleasure is bad. You should just be like neutral. Exactly that, right? The prayer hands, just like zen. That's what people think is like the ultimate, right? And so, yeah, I see there's so much shame in this like web that people are continuously spinning when they're running from one thing to another, trying to look for a solution.
And I feel like shame is the result of making our human experience wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what a lot of the unhealthy spiritual relationship is my human experience is wrong. Therefore, I experience shame because I believe that like my humanity is a problem that I need to overcome. Mm-hmm. And there's all these different ways that we do that. And I think, I feel like when the teachings are interpreted through that lens, like you mm-hmm. said, they become bastardized and they're just concepts that the ego, the mind just latches onto. And when the body doesn't know and feel and experience these concepts, it's just another way to bypass our emotions and for the ego to go, this is how I prove my worth. This is how I know that I'm doing something right, that I'm doing good. And this is how I know that I'm doing bad. And it becomes conceptual and it becomes about rules mm-hmm. and perfection and achievement and fixing and running and rescuing, like, and how exhausting that is.
Exactly. I just felt that in my body. Talking about it, I'm like, oh, that's exhausting. That's heavy. I don't want that.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, it's like what people forget, it's such so simple. And this is a spiritual teaching. It's like, we are human beings. Like we are souls in a human body. We came here to have a human experience. Right? There's a reason the soul is embodied. We're not just this like formless, you know, thing, light. We came here to experience everything. And if there's shame, what a great opportunity to experience that, not run away from it, but say, hey, shame is here. What is this shame about? Why am I feeling shame about whatever it is, something that happened, something that I want? What are the stories that I have about this, right? To like actually face it, that is so spiritual. That's what Buddhism teaches, is just face everything. Use your awareness to look at it and to look at it objectively, to get curious. That's what meditation is. You just like look at what's arising and you don't actually like attach meaning to it. You just observe it. And then like you start to unravel it and you gain understanding, right? And so it's such an amazing opportunity when there is shame. If we act, it could be so spiritual to face the shame fully rather than run away from it, which most people are not doing, which is why we're having this conversation. But it's been such a big part of my journey and it's a big part of my work. It's like my experience going from spiritual bypassing for years, for like most of my 20s, I was doing that. I got into spirituality like around 19 years old. Somebody gave me this book, Conversations with God, which is still one of my favorite books ever. It's incredible. And then I just got into all these authors, Eckhart Tolle, Gabriel Bernstein, what have you. And anyway, I started to use all of these concepts to get away from my traumatic childhood and all the pain that I was carrying. So here I am becoming an adult in the world with all of this baggage I'm carrying, with no tools for working with that baggage. And then boom, somebody hands me these amazing concepts that are just like, everything happens for a reason. And, you know, like anger and, you know, all these emotions are like hold you back, especially the power of now, things like that, like, or the secret, not the power of now, the secret. Oh my God, that like movie got me so good. Cause it's like, you gotta think positive, and anything that is in your thoughts, like you will attract it. So I'm like, I can't be angry at my family. I can't, you know, be down or sad about what's happened to me, because then I'll just attract more of it. And anyway, so I had all of the shame about what happened to me, and fear. This is a big thing as well that I think makes people spiritually bypass, is the fear of what will happen if we go into the discomfort and the darkness. And so anyway, I had a lot of shame about not only what I experienced, but what I was feeling, and fear, and I suppressed it. I used all these tools. And then that shame, like, it just kept on like tugging at me. It never went away. Like, I Oh my God. And it showed up in so much judgment toward other people, like that were having experiences that I secretly wanted. And it showed up in on unworthiness and not feeling good enough to go for what I wanted. There was so much. And eventually, like I said, and I got really sick. My body was having many, many chronic health issues. And I also became very numb. I couldn't feel sensation. I couldn't feel pleasure in my sex and in my body anymore. I just completely cut off from myself. And I had to go, or thank God I found a path, and I chose to go down the embodiment path and healing through somatic work, healing through sensual and sexual tantric teachings and exploration. And what I realized is none of that shit that I was pushing down ever went anywhere. It was always there. And through going down this path of the body, what I found is that the shame wanted and the fear, they were all messengers for me, trying to show me something about myself, some little gold that was. And I feel like maybe I'm being abstract, so I want to maybe really give an example here of what I was experiencing. I had a lot of shame about sadness, not even about sadness. I had shame if I ever felt sad. I had shame if I ever felt grief. I just was like, I shouldn't feel grief. I shouldn't feel pain. This all happened for a reason. And I felt weak if I felt those things. I didn't feel spiritually strong enough. I didn't feel like I was in my power if I was in those emotions. And so that's the bulk of what I pushed down. I mean, there were many other things, as I mentioned, like desires. That was a whole other can of worms. But that was the main thing that I had to turn toward in my healing. And when I did, it was like, oh, so sadness is a messenger of unexpressed needs, really, and love that needs to be tended to inside myself. When I started to feel all the sadness inside my body that I had suppressed, and went back into all the experiences through inner child work and feeling sensations and letting myself finally cry after a decade of not crying, what I saw is sadness just wants me to fucking love myself. In ways that nobody had ever been able to love me, not my parents, not my family. It was trying to teach me how to get there. But I was for years trying to love and light my way out of love, away from love. Yes. And this was the only way to actually truly return to love, which is funny. I'm like, return to love. I think of Marianne Williamson's book. How do we actually do that?
Yeah.
My understanding and my experience is through this. It's down and in through the body. It's down and in through everything that we try to run away from. That's how we return to love, is loving everything, even if we don't love it. Being like, I don't love this, and I love that I'm not fucking loving this. I love that I hate this, you know?
Yes.
Loving it all.
Yeah. Ugh. It's just so much. Yeah, you're so right on with shame being the indication or the messenger that says there's something inside of me that I'm not loving.
Yes.
There's something inside of me that I actually need to turn to, because shame says, move away from it, move away from it. So that is your indication that actually this sadness, I need to turn toward it. I need to feel it in my body. And when I always use this analogy with my students and clients that grief and love exists on opposite ends of the same spectrum. So I always pull out a pen and I'm like, on one side we have love and one side we have grief. And when we try to get rid of grief and throw out the pen, we're throwing out our access to love, because grief shows us how much we have loved. And if we really let ourselves love, we need to be open up to grief, because all things are temporary. And so the more we can actually turn toward our grief and feel safe feeling it in our body, not that it's ever going to feel quote unquote good. Grief is the heaviest emotion we can feel. But when we actually let ourselves be open to feeling grief in the body, our capacity to love naturally expands.
Yes. As
a byproduct.
Yes. Ah. I feel orgasmic hearing you say that.
Yes. And
really,
if all spirituality really at its essence is about love, then we have to bring our body into our spirituality, because every emotion, I think, like you said, brings us back to love. Anger yeah. says, anger I describe as the advocacy emotion. I love myself enough to get angry when a boundary is crossed. Mm-hmm. I love myself enough to know when I've been disrespected. I love myself enough to want to protect myself. Like, even anger is the emotion that says, I love myself.
Well, I agree with all of this. Like, it's all pointing us back to love. And what I'm getting right now, it's like, I think when people are spiritually bypassing, they're forgetting often about the self-love element and are connecting more with this universal love, this love for all beings that doesn't include them. They're putting everyone else ahead of themselves. And in Buddhism, or at least I think, I forget the teacher's name right now, is it Trungpa Rinpoche, I think, says like, that's idiot compassion. It's like a compassion that does not include yourself. A love that does not include yourself is idiotic. But that's what's often happening in spiritual bypassing. We're forgetting that loving ourselves means feeling these feelings, feeling the anger, upholding boundaries, feeling the grief, letting our heart break open, letting ourselves long for something, et cetera, et cetera. We have to love ourselves enough to meet ourselves in all of these places with all of these things in our eyes.
I love that you're saying this, because I think in that there is a forgetting that, quote unquote, God is within us. We're an extension. And so, like, when we believe that, like, all these parts of us are bad, we are literally forgetting our true nature, which mm-hmm. is an extension of God, source, divine. Like, we're cutting ourselves off from that very, quote unquote, spiritual truth and reality when we go, oh, me having this experience is bad and wrong, and I shouldn't be having it, or I need to get myself out of feeling this. Mm-hmm. We're literally saying that, like, an extension of God is wrong.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I really feel like God came here, and we are all like extensions of God, but like put us here, I should say, to experience itself.
Yeah.
And experience itself in like the multitude of flavors and varieties of being. And actually there's another teaching that I love around our souls, which are pure love and light, and our essence, right, which is just like a part of the one, part of God, came here to know itself through knowing its opposite, through knowing everything that it is not. So yeah. We are just pure light, truly, in like the highest essence. We manifested this human incarnation so that we could know everything that is not light, darkness included, because through seeing the opposite reflection, like then we know ourselves even more. And it's like, I mean, how would we know the daytime and the sun without having the night and the moon, right? We need that contrast. And so I love what you're saying here. It's like, yes, like it's all an extension of God. And just, it doesn't mean that we like then, you know, excuse things, right? Like taking out certain behaviors on certain people, you know, hurting others, et cetera. But we can also say, hey, that's part of my humanity, right? It becomes like this subtle nuanced dance of like loving everything, that even when it gets messy and dark, and feeling what we got to feel in the face of all of that, and then coming back to our soul's essence and truth after we've moved through everything. Like, okay, light and love, what is this teaching me? How is this connected to that? Right. How do I move and act from here, from that, my deepest truth and essence?
And I feel like we're much more likely to do things that are harmful to ourselves and others when we're disconnected from our bodies, when we're trying to run away from our emotions, when we can't sit with the discomfort. I mean, you think about the amount of harm that's done in the name of Jesus or the name of our religion.
For centuries.
Right. It's like when you're using all these spiritual concepts, that doesn't mean anything. Like, if you are not meeting your own darkness and transforming it, and when you're trying to run away from it, that's when you do things that are out of integrity with who you really are.
1,000%. Some of the most fucked up people that I have met in my life are supposed spiritual teachers.
Yeah.
And I believe this, everything that you just said, is because energy needs expression. Anything that we do not express, it can only do two things. It can either express itself within us because we're suppressing it, and it'll express through us as like disease or depression, right? Because all of that energy is weighing us down, or it's in our organs, in our blood, in our cells, in our tissues, and it's expressing that way, or it's expressing and exploding out. And that's why some of these teachers, and or even people I've hung out in the spiritual community for so long, are so freaking passive aggressive or just judgmental, like I was. And it's some of the most annoying people to be around.
Yeah, I was one of those.
When I say annoying, I mean egoic and very high and mighty, better than thou. And it's like, that is not like true spirituality, pedestalizing yourself, right? Anyway, I cut you off. Go ahead, girl. I'm very passionate about this.
I don't remember what I was saying. I think I was just agreeing with you. I was absolutely one of those people who was judgmental and high and mighty, because I believed that, like, again, it's their response to shame. Mm-hmm. How can I know that I'm good except through by comparison to other people and judging how bad they are, because they, you know, I'm running away from my darkness. So I've convinced myself I have no darkness.
Mm.
So therefore I look at everyone else like, oh, well, you just haven't, you know, received Jesus into your heart.
Right. For me, it was like, you just haven't done enough spiritual work, or you haven't done enough ayahuasca.
Yeah. You just haven't done enough manifestation practice and you're out of alignment.
Yeah. Let's speak about manifestation practices, because this has been such a rub for me. Like, I've loved the concept of our power as spiritual beings to create this, but I also see in the, I also hate, okay, I'll just personally say I hate some of the teachings, because it's forgetting some of the truth of our humanity and circumstances that get in our way, like finances, race, cultural conditions, etc. Maybe this is a whole other topic, and like, it's opening a can of worms, so we don't have to get too into it. But what I want to say about it is that it's always rubbed me the wrong way when it's forgetting about that. And when there's this spiritual bypassing to just like, oh, we can create anything that we want. And then using this kind of like superiority to be like, if you haven't created it, it's just because you're a victim, or, you know, pretty much shaming someone else or shaming yourself. Shaming, which I would do. I'm like, it's just because I haven't, like, you know, reach this level of energy that will attract everything.
Yes.
But beating yourself with a freaking shame stick, that's like a rod of light with freaking like nails on the end. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. And let's not forget that we can't spiritual bypass action. We can't just think our way to amazing bliss. We also have to take actions that align with what we're thinking and wanting. So anyway, that's just my hang up about spiritual manifestation teachings.
I'm so with you on that. And when I listen to stuff like that, I can see how people would use it in that way. And I'm so grateful for my depth of embodiment and connection to my body, because I'm like, I can see how someone would take this concept and go that way. And knowing what I know about my body, this is how I interpret what I'm hearing. And, you know, a lot of manifestation teaching is shaming, quote unquote, negative emotion, right? Like there's, especially like Abraham Hicks, it's a lot about negative emotion, negative emotion, negative emotion. But like when I've really actually, first of all, it's okay. I feel okay when I actually disagree with the concept. I'm like, okay, don't exactly love how that's being worded. But I'm like, when I listen to like Abraham Hicks a lot, and she's like answering people's questions, she actually says, when you experience quote unquote negative emotion, you're experiencing contrast. And mm-hmm. contrast is not a bad thing. So actually be grateful when you experience contrast instead of beating yourself up for experiencing contrast. And she doesn't say that's not the forefront of her teaching. So it's like one of those nuances that it's like, I can allow myself to experience the contrast. And the more I beat myself up or shame myself for having a contrasting experience, the more I'm actually moving away from what I want. But when I experience the contrast, whatever that is, the external situation, the emotion and response, that's, again, that's simply teaching me something about myself, something I need to look at. And like, can I experience that thing without the shame, without yes. beating myself up?
Yes, yes, yes.
And it's, yeah, it's so easy to hear the spiritual teachings and go, there's something wrong with me for having this contrasting experience.
Exactly. Or even, I mean, I don't love the phrasing negative emotions. Just hearing that alone, it's like, right. Oh, there's a judgment in that. And then that makes it so easy for the listener to start judging themselves.
Right.
That's a whole thing with the labeling of things. But I really love what you were just talking about with just allowing the contrast, because what happens when we don't is we get stuck in it for so much longer. Like, yep. I have had experiences where I'm like, I shouldn't be jealous. I shouldn't be jealous of my friends who have like, whatever, more success than me, or like easier time with men or whatever. I shouldn't spring in it. And everything that I already said happened to me, right? Like suppressing that. But when I'm just like, oh, I'm jealous, and I feel that in my body, and I feel the heat and the tightness, and what opens from there? I'm like, I see, oh, I want that too. Like the desire that's on the other side, which is so obvious, right? Yes. Open. And then this avenue opens for me to like look at, well, how can I have that? Or what's in the way of that for me? What, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then I get to unravel those threads for myself to actually move toward. Yes. What I want, rather than just be stuck in the thing that I was judging as bad and wrong. And I've had that with, like I said, with sadness. I mean, I was stuck in sadness for so long, for over a decade, because I wouldn't freaking feel it, you know?
Right. And it just, like you said, it just gets stored in our body and it stays there. And when we're talking about like manifestation, that's like the vibration or whatever, like energy is, or emotions are energy, which is vibration. And so it's like, when we don't actually let ourselves feel the quote unquote negative emotion, which I don't like that word either, but the jealousy, the anger, the frustration, the sadness,
it just the dark emotion.
The dark, yes. Just like when you're painting with a color palette, you have dark colors and light colors, but they're all necessary to paint the picture. Right. But when you don't let yourself actually feel the darker emotion, it just stays in your body. And then you're trying to like get to the lighter emotion, the brighter emotion, but you literally can't, because you won't just let yourself feel and experience the darker emotion.
Totally. And then here's the kicker. Then you manifest the very things that you don't want. And when I say manifest, like you, we create it. See, the spiritual teachings are real. Mm-hmm. We've just been nitpicking, you know, we've been picking out what we want from them, but it's like, when I would get stuck, when I was stuck for so long in my sadness and grief, but not feeling it, right? And jealousy, resentment towards men and my family, those were the two biggest places where I had resentment. what was I creating in my life? I was creating, kept creating bad relationships with men, kept choosing men that were unavailable. I kept feeling disconnected from my friends because I was jealous of them. It was creating separation, othering, right? And it also kept me feeling like not good enough, like they're better than me. So then I thought I wasn't good enough. So I wasn't taking action toward what I wanted, which I was seeing them have. And it actually was a self-fulfilling prophecy that I was stuck in because I wasn't willing to face, feel, and confront the darkness. And when I did, my life fucking started changing. My relationship with men, money, sisterhood, everything.
And a lot of times when we're stuck in that self-fulfilling prophecy, we just try harder. We do more manifestation practices. We pray more. We read the Bible more. We go, if I could just do more of the quote unquote good things or right things, maybe I'm just not doing enough. And that's why I keep re-experiencing the things I don't want to experience. So we're still trying to like crawl out of this hole, but we're just digging ourselves deeper versus why don't I just do the simple thing and let myself feel the fucking feeling? Right. And naturally as a byproduct, that opens up space for the feelings that I want to have to arise organically.
Amen. Descend to ascend. Stop trying to ascend. Like, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Descend to ascend is one of my favorite teachings that I teach. Exactly what you said. Clawing our way toward ascension digs ourselves deeper in the hole that we're in. Just rest for a moment in that hole. If we were to compare this to quicksand, if you try to like drive and move, you're going to sink. You just stay still. And then you take I've never been to quicksand, but for movies and stuff, right? Take some simple steps. You start to move out of it.
Yeah.
And there's gold at the bottom of every one of these dark, uncomfortable emotions and experiences, things that you're not willing to face. There's gold in everything. When I started to meet my grief, I met my inner child, the little one in me that was like never told I love you, that never had space to feel, that was threatened if she was feeling. I met her and I got to see her joy, her innocence, her light. I got to love her. Like I got to reclaim then that innocence, that joy, that wonder, that's my silliness came back. Like I hadn't been silly for 20 years and that part of me got reactivated and so many more things, but that this is an example, right, of the gold that is there for us when we stop trying to skip over the uncomfortable darkness.
And I feel like you're saying, the darkness always presents an opportunity to love a different part of ourselves that has been neglected or shamed or, abandoned by the world or by us.
Yes.
And so when we actually allow ourselves to go into the darkness, to descend, to meet it, to feel it, we actually deepen our capacity to love our own humanity and therefore other people's humanity.
Yes. 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 When we can love those parts of ourselves, the part that's grieving, the part that's jealous, the part that's resentful, it's so much easier to just meet other people who are in those states of energy, of emotion, with understanding, because we understand it within ourselves. People tell me the number one client feedback I get is like, I feel like you can be with me in anything. Like you just are able to hold space for anything that comes forward, any of my parts. And I'm like, yeah, because I've been on a journey the last 8 years of meeting all of me. And there's more, of course, but of doing this very work that we're talking about, going toward all of the darkness within me. And this is,
yeah.
Sorry, guys. This is the expansion of love that we keep trying to ascend toward when we're doing spiritual bypassing. That's conceptual. Exactly. It's like, oh, no, this is embodied love.
Wow. Wow. Damn.
Take it in.
Take it in. And it's, I feel like the quote unquote true spirituality or expansive love, again, it's just a natural byproduct of meeting ourselves in our own humanness. We try to get so spiritual conceptually or by doing or by earning or by thinking. But if we were to just actually meet ourselves in our humanity, we find naturally, organically, this feeling of connection and oneness and compassion, all the quote unquote spiritual things that we've been trying to achieve, versus it just being this natural overflow from us meeting ourselves.
Yes. Oh, that feels so good to hear. It's so soft hearing that in my body, because I know it from my experience. I've forgiven my family truly now, not like what I was saying, you know, 16 years ago when I was 21, like, I understand everything that happened. I forgive them. It was all for my spiritual growth. No, no, no. Now that I've resented and raged and grieved what happened, and also what I never got. Oh, and also learn to love my own inner child and give her what she never got. Oh my, now I can truly see my family, my parents for what they were, people that were honestly doing the best they could and coming from their own trauma, but it's not coming up here anymore. Like, I can really see and feel that from deep within. I've forgiven them. Same with men that have cheated on me, same with relationships that didn't work out, but it only came through freaking screaming into pillows, you know, like cursing out them on paper, you know, like doing all these practices that allowed me to meet what was actually there. And this is not just my own experience. I've seen this with like dozens and dozens of people, mostly women that I've worked with. This is the way. All the way in and through, right? It's the old age old adage, what we resist persists, you know, what we face and feel frees us. I just made that part.
But okay, that's a post. Yeah, and this is a spirituality that includes our body instead of constantly tries to transcend it, which is exhausting.
Yes.
A spirituality that includes the body versus trying to escape it.
Yeah. It's exhausting because we can't do, like, it's unmanageable. It takes so much energy to try to skip the body. And then what we're doing is dragging the body along, like dead, like as if it's dead weight, right? And it becomes heavier and heavier and heavier with everything we push down into it.
Yeah, the body as a problem versus as an ally and a portal to experience our spirituality or our deeper connection with God, source, divine.
Yeah. I'm really curious how it's been for you to include the body on your spiritual journey, like personally.
I thought I knew God until I met my body. Ooh. I met God in my body. Mm-hmm. I was raised Christian my whole life and thought I knew God. And then started building a relationship with my body and finally experienced God versus this conceptual or forced kind of knowing. It was like the sense of oneness that we all hear about in spirituality, like actually experiencing it and being like, oh, that's what it feels like when I am truly accepting and meeting all parts of myself and my body and my feelings and my humanity, like with love. Mm-hmm. I experience that oneness and my spirituality has never been the same.
Oh, I have chills. That's it. This has been the same for me. Same. I called it the universe for a long time because I was angry at God. So I didn't want to call it God for so long. Now I call it God, but it's one and the same. But I thought I knew what that love was and what the universe was. And then I slowed down to actually experience the universe inside of me, right? The dark, the light, all of it. And with all of the love that came through that, that's it. That's the portal to God. Love, God is love. Love is God. And going down and into love everything allowed me to really embody what God is. I mean, not I'm not saying I'm God, but to feel what God is.
Yeah. And then like we're the micro, our bodies are the microcosm.
Yes.
We deeply experience it so that we can see it on the more macro scale. Yeah.
Boom.
Boom.
Truly. Yeah. That's it.
So good. What a great conversation. And yeah, then we're kind of letting any particular framework off the hook of like, this is the best one or this one's bad. It's like whatever spiritual framework you really connect with or resonate with is fine. As long as like you don't leave your humanity out of it and shame isn't running your perception of it. Yeah, whatever framework works for you is beautiful. And let that just be a tool to help you connect more with your humanity versus escape it.
Yes. I couldn't have said that it better myself, honestly.
Well, how are you feeling after this conversation?
I feel amazing. I feel such a peaceful joy, honestly, reflecting on what true spirituality or embodied spirituality looks like and feels like. I can feel the connection to it in my own body and heart right now. Such like deep gratitude for the journey.
Yeah.
Like it's profound what this journey of going into the body has given me. Like the love I feel is immense, and the connection to something bigger and to others and to myself is something that no book, no spiritual teaching alone could have ever given me. So yeah, I'm just really grateful to be talking about this and like feeling it so deeply in this moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Your body is your greatest spiritual book, greatest spiritual teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that you just said that. Like, if you're looking for spirituality, stop looking at books and get to know your body, and your body will teach you everything you need to know about God.
Woo! Oh! We are going to write something together regarding this. This is so good. I feel like we're preaching right now.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for having this conversation with me. It was so beautiful.
Yeah, it was really, really beautiful. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad. Finally, I'm like, I'm going to have Janira on the podcast. And now we're doing it.
We're doing it and talking about one of the most like special, profound topics.
Yeah, one of my faves. So where can people find you if they want to connect with you more?
Probably the best place is Instagram @Janira_Martinez. My website, of course, as well, JaniraMartinez.com. And out in the world, you can find me by the beach, in ceremony, at ecstatic dance. and in my room, feeling all the feelings.
And I know that you lead like plant medicine retreats and integrated with somatics. So that's incredible. I think if anyone is interested at all in plant medicine, do it with Janira.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I do those in the States. I'll be coming in April, May, but I come back and forth between Mexico and the States. I do retreats here as well in Mexico. So if you're interested in that, it is the integration of both, because I find it's so important like to have that spiritual experience embodied, right? Not just have it be like this cool thing out there, but have it be something that you really can integrates into your being and carry forward.
Well, I will post all the websites and links and accounts in the show notes so that people can definitely follow you and learn more from your amazing wisdom. Thank you so much for everything that you do. I'm so glad that I found you through Instagram, and yeah, just really grateful.
Thank you, Chelsea. It's a pleasure.
Have a beautiful rest of your day, and we will talk to you next time, everyone. Bye-bye.